back to Teacher Quit Talk. We have a real live famous person that we entrapped into coming here.
We really do. I won't steal your thunder. Introduce yourself. Tell the people who you are.
Hi, everyone. My name's Dutch. I am a creator on TikTok, and I'm also a proud public school teacher, and I work in pre-K here in the city, in New York City, where I was born and raised.
When did you become a teacher? Have you always been a teacher?
Because for a long time, I was following you, having no idea that you taught, and then one day you were like, my class, and I was like, who?
Yeah, so I've taught this whole time. So I started in college. It was like my work study job. It was one of my jobs. So I worked nights at the library. I was a student supervisor at the library. I taught indoor cycling, and then I worked in a kindergarten classroom as like an America Reads tutor, and that was my like work study job. I did that my junior and senior year, and then sort of like my moment of, I joke, it's like, it's not really a joke, but my nepotism moment was like when I graduated college, I was walking down the street and I ran into my assistant principal from when I was in elementary school, who's now a principal of a school, and she was like, hey, what are you doing? You want to come teach for me?
I love
that. Doesn't that just say it all about the American education system?
Yeah.
I found my job on Facebook. Like their recruiting is really a very specific universe.
Totally. Yeah. Like they were like, come work for me. I was like, sure. And I actually, I did my undergrad in dance and health education. And so when I graduated, I was dancing professionally. So I wasn't teaching full time. I was basically like subbing and like filling in when they needed me. But it was like a really great way to make money on the side because it was like, I didn't have to do it all the time. Dance, I was booking jobs, but dance pays like even less than teaching.
Yeah. They're like, here's $1. You're welcome for the opportunity. Fuck off. Don't
literally
call.
That's what it's like. It's like, good luck. Like, yeah, we gave you a meal. Like, I once had a choreographer be like, well, we can't pay you, but I'll make dinner. And I was like, no, that doesn't work for me.
Wow. They were like, I literally have baked ziti, so yeah. Why are you upset?
Yeah. It takes me right back to acting in LA. It's like, oh, it's for exposure. It's like,
I know all of you.
I know.
Like, we already all know each other.
My friends are going to be the ones who come to the show. Like, exactly. Who are you exposing me to?
They know who I am.
Yeah. So that's how I got into it. And actually, when I was in college also, between my junior and senior year, I worked for a charter network that shall not be named. But basically, they have this whole program where they like recruit you your junior year to work the summer between junior and senior year.
Oh, fuck, they really.
That is the most charter school thing I've ever heard. That charter school is like, what if we take the razzle dazzle of an unpaid corporate internship and we bring it into education?
What if we take them before they know any better? What if we just take the really enthusiastic ones and put them in this program?
They probably looked at the course program for the college and realized that you take education law last. And they were like, yeah, so I want them junior year. I want them not knowing the law.
Totally.
That's better for me.
And they did it like how they do it when you're in law school, and it's like really nice when you're in law school, but then when you graduate it's like hell.
Yes.
It paid so well. It was like the highest paying job I'd ever had. That if you weren't from New York, they like put you up in these really nice dorms. They were always catering meals, like taking us on outings. Like it was so nice.
That was their entire budget. They didn't give a single teacher printer paper that year. They said, sorry, we spent it on renting the NYU dorms and getting catered kava for the fucking juniors.
That's what it was. It was insane. And I had my own, I mean, I had classroom experience, but there were so many people there who had zero classroom experience. And I had basically like you taught in a room with a teacher for like, and I say teacher because my mentor teacher, it was her first year. And she had no certification, no education, had never worked in a school. And she was my mentor teacher. Mm-hmm.
They made me grade level lead at my first school in the middle of the year as a first year teacher because my grade level lead got fired for sexual harassment of me.
God.
So then they were like, you know what?
They said, as a prize for what you went through.
Look what you get.
It was a coup, if you really will. You usurped them of their title.
Yeah, so becoming a mentor teacher your first year is just tale as old as time, you know?
Literally. So yeah, she was my mentor teacher. She ended up getting, this, I shouldn't laugh. She got a fungal nail infection about halfway through because she got a bad set done.
I knew it would be from a bad set. I just knew it.
Why has that happened to me? But I was so mortified that I just dealt with it and fixed it myself.
Take it to the grave.
I was like, I don't think it was a fungal infection. My nails just got stained really bad.
Wait, she had to fucking leave school?
Like,
so she was out.
Did she get her fingers amputated? What the fuck? How'd she let it it go this far.
She came in with like a large amount of gauze and she was like, I just can't do it anymore. I think she just couldn't do it.
She probably bought that at CVS 20 minutes before.
So she literally like bounced for the last half. So then I was alone in this classroom. I had 13 kids all going into first grade. None had IEPs, but all needed IEPs.
And a lot of times, the kids that are in like an extra program, parents are fucking tired for a reason. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, why do you think I was in theater from 4 p.m. to 10 p.m. for 11 years of my life?
And it was a summer program. So it was like, you know, they also didn't want to be there. They were like, ugh, I want to be outside. You know, it was crazy. And the way we had to like,
oh, I'm sorry, we're doing math.
Yeah, and like sitting, you know, sit like this and back straight. I like, oh my gosh, like there's footage of me teaching and like I showed it to my room, like my friends when I got back my senior year, and it became like a meme, like Dutch, like talk the way I would, you know, track me.
There's a video of me where I'm walking around the room and it was posted on their social media as like an exemplar. It was before I did social media, but it was literally me being like, track me, track you, and they're like spoons and bowl, and I'm just like,
Black Mirror,
I want to die.
You become like a demon when you work in those settings.
You really, the times that I have had like on a sitcom where they go in my own body, and then I go, what the fuck am I doing? Why am I literally screaming at a 16-year-old because they're on the phone with their friend? Happened at 10 a.m. today. We already apologized. She wouldn't care that I talked about it. She was on FaceTime with her friend, and then she tried to gaslight me that she wasn't. And I was like, I saw the green dot. I saw it. She was like, it's not there. I was like, I saw it. I saw it. And my face was literally like this close to the camera. And I was like, who are you? Hi. Hi.
Children. Oh my gosh. So wait, so you were in kinder and then now you're in pre-K. How long have you been in pre-K?
So I've been in pre-K since 2021. So dancing basically shut down right when the pandemic started. But it actually, for me, my career literally went up in flames. Because the building that are, so like I freelanced for a while, and then like, you know, the goal when you dance is like to get a company job where you're working consistently, mm-hmm. like bookings, shows, etc. I got that, got my company job, and then the building that we had all of our shows in, rehearsals in, literally went up in flames like a month before the pandemic, like February of 2020.
Well, at least it was kind of good timing because then everybody else's career went up in flames.
But the way in February 2020, you probably said, it can't get worse than this.
No, literally. I was like, okay, got my dream career finally. It went up in flames. Not how I thought this would, like, you know, I'm like, oh, I'm going to get injured. I'm not going to book the job. No. Goes up in flames.
There's a fire.
Yeah. And then the pandemic. And like I'm in the city where like it all started. So everything shut down.
No, it was really giving war zone for you all. I remember being in like rural Georgia, watching it on the news. And I was like, why do they have dead bodies in a frozen truck?
Yeah.
This seems like really not normal.
Oh, I blocked that out. I forgot about that.
I didn't leave like my apartment for like 80 days or something. Like, yeah, it was insane. And so then the following school year, like pretty much everything was remote, so I wasn't really doing anything. And then they called me in like halfway through that school year to come in and work in pre-K. I started virtually. I was teaching 5 separate pre-K classes on Zoom.
Oh my God.
From my room.
How did that go?
Oh, 4-year-olds on Zoom? A mess.
They don't like it, I'm assuming?
No, it's like you're like corralling, you're trying to get them in. And then also like when they're older, I feel like parents don't come in as much, or like families don't come and watch as much. But a lot of times when they're 4, it's literally like,
it's both of them.
They're like sitting there and you're like, hello. And like, this was when I had started TikTok in like August, I think, of 2020. And so by January of 2021, when I started the virtual stuff, I like had a decent following. I had like a couple hundred thousand, and I got recognized by parents like on Zoom, which,
incredible,
awful. It's like, hi, like, hello, how are you? You know, like, now I have to teach.
That's so degrading.
Shit.
Did that. Then I went into the classroom because we were back. And then in the years since then, I've been doing like specialist work. So I don't have my own class. I push in to the pre-K rooms and the 3K rooms now, which are the 3-year-olds. So in New York City, we now have 3K? 3K. Yeah, we have 3K, which is free 3-year-old, and they're there the whole day, 8:30 to 3 or 8:30 to 2:45. And they come in, some of them are 2, because you just have to be turning 3 by the end of the year.
Oh My God.
Yeah. So we've got like full on 2-year-olds in our building.
Are they even all potty trained?
No.
Yeah. Like, because I worked at a place that was early Head Start and it was 6 weeks to 3 years. And like once you were 3 and a half, bye bye, you're out of here. And I'm trying to imagine like that environment, but at a school, because like we did school-esque things, but it was a daycare. Yeah. Like we took naps, we played outside for long, like we didn't have curriculum. I'm trying to imagine corralling 3-year-olds into a curriculum.
Full on public school. Like we have all the way up to 5th grade.
And they're 2?
And they're 2.
2-year-olds can't do that. Like I love 2-year-olds, but they don't know how to do that.
No, Jay is going to be 2 in May, which I can't imagine her being in a public school all day.
Yeah. So I push into 3K and pre-K, and I do like, they call it creative literacy. I just call it, I come in and do what I want, kind of. Like,
yeah,
I sort of just make
them?
Up my own program. Like, they call it creative literacy because pretty much I start every lesson with a book. So it's like,
everybody's so creative.
Creative arts literacy is how I like introduce it to parents. Like, I'm doing creative arts literacy with your child.
If I was a parent, I would be like, I'd be like, am I stupid? Did I do that? Like,
with your 2-year-old, we're doing creative arts literacy.
I'd be like, that one is doing creative arts literacy?
So it's basically like I'm an art teacher specializing in pre-K, basically. Like I do a lot of like crafts and projects with them and like, you know, things like that, which I honestly really like because I get to see all the kids. Like I always liked the idea of like in high school, when you teach high school, like you get lots of different class, like you teach one subject, but you have like 6 different groups of kids or whatever it is. In elementary school, unless you're a specialist, like you have the same group of kids the whole year, all day long.
It's so intriguing to me how every single state is doing something so vastly different with early childhood education. I hadn't even heard of 3K, and I know TK is a big conversation here right now. I had just gotten used to that, and now we're pushing it even lower. Is it free? Is it like...
Yeah, so it's free if it's in... So we have free 3K, free pre-K, but not... This is where it gets like complicated, of course. Not every public school has pre-K and 3K. Most of them now have pre-K. We're the only one in our district that has 3K, or in our area. That's a whole other thing. Like, New York City school system is like a monolith. Like, we have like 38 different districts. They're all like numbered. You have to be in the zone to get into the pre-K, but then there are unzoned pre-Ks, but then it's like just so layered and like...
I've heard it's quite the system. I used to always steal practice questions from you all because New York is one of the few states that releases their standardized test every year. And every time I've tried to navigate you all's educational websites, I'm like, I think this is a little out of my league.
The New York State Board of Regents, they're lovely and they oversee everything. And then once you get into middle school and high school, you have to apply to middle school.
Yes, that's the thing that fascinates me about New York is they're like, you're 11 and you're fucking rejected. You're not coming here.
Yeah. We haven't even talked about private school. That's like a whole other beast. So I went to, you know, proud public school graduate. And when I was in 5th grade, I had to apply to middle school. So we would go and tour middle schools in the area, and then you would rank your middle schools. When I was in school, you chose 5. You ranked them. We did have one school that was guaranteed, but that was like the biggest
school.
Yeah, it was like the biggest school. And it was the one that I went to because I was like, oh, I want to go there because it was giant. Mm-hmm. And we had 1,500 kids in 3 grades. And I was like, I just want to like not be known anymore. I just want to like fly under the radar.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Because it was either that or the middle school that was housed on the top 2 floors of my elementary school.
Oh, so you're like, I need to get the hell out of here.
Yeah, I was like I want to get out of this building. Like I'm over it. Because that's another thing I didn't realize until I left the city was like our schools go vertically. Like my elementary school had 6 floors. My school now has 3 floors. When I had my work study job in college, I like showed up the first day and they were like, you're in classroom 305. And I was like, great, where are the stairs to the 3rd floor? And they were like, it's 1 floor, babe. Like, they were like looking at me like I was insane. So that was middle school. And then high school is even worse. High school, there's like 400 high schools you can apply to. You rank 12 of them. And then there's also something called the specialized high school admissions test, which like thousands of kids take. There's 8 specialized high schools. kids start prepping for it in like sixth grade. It's like these like giant, super smart schools. At least when I was in school, it was like match day almost for like, you know, like for doctors. Like on this day in February, you would get a letter. And if you got into a specialized school and a regular school, you would find out which two you got into. If you didn't do well enough on the specialized test and you didn't get into a specialized school, you wouldn't find out what regular school you got into. And you had to wait until March. And then if you didn't get into a school in March, you had to do the secondary round and you'd find out in April.
Why are we doing this to children?
To like 12-year-olds. What
are we gaining by this?
Yeah.
Who's benefiting here? I don't see this being good
right?
for anybody.
It was horrible. I just remember like all the drama and like, and at that point Facebook was like the big social media. So it was like, everybody would go on and be
and
like,
announce.
I got into da 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 da. I got into da da da. And then like, you'd go and see like somebody didn't post.
Oh my God.
And like, I didn't get in. I had just started dancing because I got into this like free summer program for like public school kids. You can only imagine what that was like. It was like a bunch of us in the summer. Like anyway, I had just started dancing. And so you can, you know, the fame school, LaGuardia.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I had auditioned for LaGuardia with one dance class, literally one dance class of experience.
I think you should have made it. I have no idea how you did.
I got the callback.
Period.
My claim to fame. I got the callback and I was like, oh my God. And it was my dream school. I was obsessed with going there. And like, they always said, like, we take like two kids a year who don't have experience, who we think have potential. So I was like, okay, great. Everybody knew that's where I wanted to go. Everybody. We got admissions and I didn't get in. And I was devastated. And I got into a specialized school and a regular school, but I still had to go on to like Facebook and be like, got into these two schools, and having people be like, what about LaGuardia? And I had to be like, I didn't get in. I wrote a letter. This is so embarrassing. I wrote a letter to the principal of the dance department. And I was like, if you ever have any openings, like, what, you know, like, just call Taylor up. Like,
no, this is absolutely something my mother would have made me do.
She was like, why don't you just write a letter?
Incredible.
So I wrote a letter. And then next year I went back and I auditioned again. And they were like, we don't have any spots, but we'll do auditions anyway because we're required to. And like, I walked into the audition and they like pointed at me and they were like, that's the one who wrote the letter.
I would respect the shit out of you. Like, if I was a teacher at Magic Dance Super Famous Elite Academy, I'd be like, this child was passionate enough that they sat down and wrote us a letter. Fuck all of you. Like, we need to let him in immediately.
I know. I was like, oh, so yeah, school admissions in New York is brutal. And that's just public school. Private school.
The way that that's public school. I thought the whole point of public school is that it's like, you just fucking show up. Like,
yeah, right.
You just live nearby and show up. I thought that's supposed to be the shtick.
No, it's a whole thing. And parents will move streets so that their kids go to certain schools. Don't get me started on that.
Get started on that.
I don't nanny as much, but I like nannied professionally, like alongside subbing, and then in the summers I would do it a lot.
And for you bitches in the suburbs, if you've been a nanny in a suburb, that's different. This is New York City. Nannying is like the fucking mafia, okay? This is an elite nanny right here.
It's another level. And one of my regular families, they were like on the more casual side. Like, I just babysat for them when I needed to. But another family I worked for, they signed a lease on a new apartment, didn't move into that apartment, stayed in the one they were at, but just signed and started paying for an empty apartment so that their kid could go to the school that they wanted them to go to. And I was like, all right.
That is an amazing use of human resources.
I was like, yeah, I really love this. And then they turned around. At the time, this was like right when I graduated college. So it was a few years ago. I was making $20 an hour with them. They pulled me aside. They said, Dutch, we want to give you a raise. We're so happy with the work you're doing. I said, great. We're going to raise you to $21. I was like, wow.
You're like,
$1 an hour.
Second thought.
Yeah, I stopped working for them. After the dollar was insulting, I was like, listen, I can make more with another family. And I think they used the apartment as like a tax write-off for his business.
Of course. Because why wouldn't they?
So yeah, that was just the things families will do. I will say I know this is like not related to teaching, but kind of the craziest nanny experience I ever had was I've worked a couple summers in the Hamptons, which is, you know, like a really nice area out on Long Island. And I worked for a celebrity family to like sign an NDA, the whole thing. And nannying in New York is a whole different beast with the families, the interviews. Like, people often look down on, like, in the same way they look down on teachers, they look down on like domestic work.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, and not that a degree is ever a measure of anyone's worth or education. And there are nannies that have like PhDs and masters.
There's a agency here that only has, quote, college-educated nannies.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's their whole shtick.
Yeah. I worked for an agency. That was the shtick. It was like, you had to be college-educated to even be in the agency. And I'm like, I'm sorry. My little Bachelor of Fine Arts in Dance has nothing on Linda and her 35 years of infant experience.
Like, yeah. Like, I don't know what y'all think they're teaching at college, but it's not this.
But it is not how to stop a colicky baby, because I promise you, don't put me in the room with somebody under two. I'm like, oh, you're crying. Please communicate.
Please learn English.
Yeah.
That resonates with me.
Yeah.
I can't believe. So I'm sure, like, if parents are moving streets to get to different schools, do you see this kind of energy coming up in pre-K already, where like the parents are already thinking towards these middle schools and high schools?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, because it all starts at elementary school, because it's not, at least when I was in school, I think it's still this way. Your zone is based on your school, not where you live. So if you get into the school and then you move, you can stay in that school. And then when you go to apply to the middle school, the high school, whatever, you're in the right zone. Like, it doesn't matter so much where you live. Also, once you get to middle school and high school, it doesn't matter as much. Where you, there's a lot more options in terms of like unzoned schools and geography. Yeah. And like, you know, like my high school, actually, I got into a specialized one and a regular one. And I went to the regular one because that's where all my friends were going. And I was like, I don't want to go.
Yeah.
Like, I was the only one from my middle school to get into this one particular specialized high school.
That'd be hard
and
in middle
like,
school.
Yeah. And I was like, I don't want to go there by myself. In retrospect, maybe I should have, because I did not like my high school. But my high school came under fire because I was like the last group of kids that they let in with 85s, like an 80s, like on your report card. After me, you had to have a 95 or higher in every subject.
I don't think I've had that at any point in my life.
Literally. When I was admitted, I already did not have that. And I was like the special ed admit because I had a 504, because I had dyscalculia, it's like numerical dyslexia. So I had, you know, the resource room, the whole thing, extra time, yada, yada. And I literally got in because my counselor called up and was like, you need special ed admits. Like, because you have to meet a quota, like to say, yeah, like you, right, I've got one for you. So that's how I got in there, because I had a 70 in music and they wouldn't take anybody with lower than an 80. So she had to call and be like, listen, this 70 in music is because he can't read. I couldn't read the music because of the dyslexia.
You're fighting for your life.
Literally. Wait for this. So I don't know if you've ever done band. I only did it in middle school. And we had like first clarinets, which were like the first chair, which was like the best. Second chair, which was like, you know, catching up, right? So I was not first chair and I was not second chair. I was the only third chair clarinet in the whole band. And I played one note the entire concert.
It's the princess track of band.
They sensed that you were going to be famous. And they were like, we need to really just like have him here and let his aura grace the room. We don't want him distracted.
And humble. We're like, let's keep him humble, because there is nothing like being 13 and they pass out all the sheet music. And then it's like, okay, Dutch, I have yours. And you get handed like, you know, the differentiated music.
What I want to know is what district professionals, I want to see, they always tell us to differentiate, but I want to know the district procedure for when one kid goes, why does theirs have pictures?
I've done this before. We say everybody needs something, but we don't all need the same thing.
Yes.
But what I want to know is where the district people are differentiating for us.
Can I do like a PD on my own time?
I learn better solo.
They don't even differentiate for grade level.
Yeah, literally. Why am I sitting in a PD for K to 5? Kindergarten is a whole different world than 3K.
I had to go to one the other day that for me, I was supposed to be there, but it was about like literacy and basically how to work with students who are really behind in literacy. I felt so fucking bad for my coworker. She teaches AP computer science.
Oh my gosh.
She was like, I teach an AP technology elective class. Like, this really is not a demon I'm facing right now.
And I always feel bad when the PD people are like particularly enthusiastic. I'm always like, yes, I'm so tired. But yes.
My worst trait is that when those people come into PD, I would be trying to like make them feel good about themselves, and we're we're all just like dying inside. And my veteran teacher colleagues would be like visibly not in the vibe.
Ours, we have to go during our planning period. And my planning is the last block of the day. And so like I was having a good attitude and participating. But she told us to do that like stations, like where they make the adults do stations. And my coworker, I would take a bullet for him. He goes, I'm in my 60s and I've been teaching all day, so I'm going to stay right here. And she literally goes, okay, great. So we actually maybe should just do this in groups instead. Yeah. And I was like, thank you, sir.
Yeah, I know. When the veteran teachers speak up, or like I was in one recently, well, my friend was in one actually today, and it was like for kindergarten. And she was like, yeah, I said, how's it going? She's like, it's a little rough. Like both of the PD people are like 23 and have been out of college for a year. And like all the veteran teachers are in there, like all these like 20 plus year teachers are like, why are you talking to me? Like they're so like, literally, like, she's like, they're like basically ignoring her. Like, she's like, I feel bad for her. And I'm like, yeah. I'm like, but that is always weird when they have like people teaching PD who have never taught.
Yeah. Like, the people that the curriculum sends is always somebody very interesting that I'm like, well, how did you get this gig? Yeah. What were you doing before this?
Yeah. Working at a charter school probably for like 6 months.
So what made you decide to talk about teaching on social media? Or were you always, and it wasn't on my For You page? Like, how did this occur?
I think I started talking about it. I think in like 2021, I did. I sort of like shared a few stories. And like, I don't know, I just felt like so many funny things happened during the day. I was like, I want to talk about them. I don't want to show my kids, because that is not something I'm into.
We're so all weird. On the same page with that.
Like, you know, the closest thing I've done to that is like I've shown videos of us doing affirmations, but it's literally my face and their voices. And it's 50 seconds of like, I am kind. I am smart.
Yeah.
It's not like you don't know what a triangle is. You don't know this shape.
That video was crazy.
Oh.
Wait, I don't know what we're referring to.
We did an episode addressing the guy. It's the same guy that did the video being like, you can't read and it's the parents'
fault.
Do you remember that? It's the same guy who was like, you don't know shapes, but it wasn't actually shape identification. It was cutting in half 3D shapes and conceptualizing what the inside of that shape looks like.
I mean, and there are so many teachers, like also like the high school teachers when they're like, hey, so-and-so, and they have like such weird relationships with the kids.
Okay, like low-key me on the no boundaries, but like at least I'm not posting about it.
Yeah, well that, and also it's like there's a, you're not recording it and posting it, and like I'm sure you're like equitable with your no boundaries.
Yeah.
Like, it's all kids. It's not just like the job.
Oh, yeah, no. When it's a female teacher who was a fucking loser ass bitch in high school who's obsessed with the jocks, you need to go to therapy, bitch. You're very weird and creepy, and we're all noticing. Me and my students were talking about this the other day because they were talking about a teacher that I don't know because she isn't at the school anymore. But they were like, yeah, Miss So and so would always give them all A's, that she would give them snacks. They'd come to her room. And I was like, let's Google her. Why'd she leave? Like, something happened, maybe. Like, that's really odd.
Yeah, so weird. Like, I had a social studies teacher in high school. Still am unclear as to how he had a job, because all the girls, like, two of them went to his house one time, his apartment, saw his apartment.
Weird.
I was like, that's weird. My best friend and I in high school, Patricia, we wanted to go on, like, one of those trips, like, abroad, but
a little like EF tours.
Yeah, EF tours, yeah. But it was like, we had, our families had no money to pay for that. Like, it was not gonna happen. And so the high school we went to was like very, like, they had a lot of, all the other kids, most of the other kids, it was like, oh yeah, whatever, you wanna go to Paris? Sure.
Have fun in Paris.
And yeah, here's the check. Yeah.
That's hilarious, because I went on an EF tour and my parents were like, bitch, go get cultured. And they made me go.
I love that.
And then I got in trouble for drinking, but.
Oh my gosh.
I wasn't even drunk. I stand by that. To my teacher who said I was drunk, I literally wasn't.
So this guy ran all the EF tours, of course, because weird. And of course he wants to go on like trips with high schoolers in a hotel.
Oh, you want to be in a third location where they don't have access to another trusted adult?
In another country, on another continent. Yeah. And so me and Patricia started P&D's cleaning service. We, like, it really didn't take off. But he was like, oh, you can come clean my house. And we were like, I don't know. Yeah, between that and we posted an ad on Craigslist, which, like, ooh, probably, like, mom, we didn't do that in high school. Don't worry. Probably not the smartest thing. We ended up getting, like, this man who wanted, like, massage. He was like, oh, you can come clean my house. And also, do you do massage? Like, we were like, okay. That was when we shut down P&D's cleaning service. It lasted about a day. Like, we made flyers, we posted on Craigslist, and our creepy high school teacher was like, come clean my house. And then we were like,
we're done.
Paris isn't worth it. We'll just go to Coney Island this summer. Like,
oh God. One time when I was in high school, my friend, her dad was my teacher, and I went to their house, which, like, because I wasn't planning to go to her house, but we were going to take pictures because we were in photography class, and she forgot a battery, so we had to go to her house. And I remember walking in and just seeing my current teacher sitting on the couch, and he goes, hi, and then went and sat on the back porch till we left.
He was probably like so freaked
Boundary
out.
Like, King.
That's the appropriate reaction. Like, if for some reason one of your students is at your house for some weird ass reason, just sit outside till they leave.
No, like, get as far away. I was at the beach over the summer, and I saw, it wasn't even one of my students. It was a student I knew from school, and I saw her at the beach. I literally was like, I was with my partner, and I was like, okay, like, please, like, move the umbrella. We, like, we tilted the umbrella. We were, like, 300 feet away. It was a beach. It was giant. But I was like, I do not want to see this child.
No. Having the experience of, like, seeing a parent or seeing a kid outside of school is so strange.
I know. It's like, I was walking on the street the other week, and I ran into one of my teachers, like, I don't work, she's in a grade above, but she has kids at the school, which is, like, a weird space, teacher-parent, and she was, like, going to meet two parents for, like, drinks or something, and she was like, oh, do you want to come? And I was like,
no. I would never go out if other parents were there, but actually one of my number one favorite things is to go to happy hour with my coworkers who hate their husbands that are in their 40s.
Because, oh my,
like,
gosh.
I would love to know about that. And they're so ready to tell you.
A teacher in a 15-year plus marriage, like, always has the best. I'm like, what's going on? What happened? Literally, I have this one teacher friend every week. I'm like, so what happened this week? What's going on? Like,
so do you see yourself teaching other ages and grade levels, or do you like doing, like, what you are now with the pulling in and pushing in of the little ones?
I do love what I do now. I also would at some point maybe like to have my own class, like, in a more, like, steady, like, for a year or whatever. I just started my master's.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I don't want to say unwillingly doing it, but it's one of those, like, I've been teaching for a while now, and I'm in these courses, and it's like, this has, I don't want to say nothing to do with what I'm teaching, but okay, I'm in an educational technology class right now online because I'm doing it all through our union, which is actually, like, really good because it saves a bunch of money. The fact that we have to pay for degrees to work in a public school, I'm like, why isn't the government just paying for this to begin with? But anyway.
Yeah, I feel like my money's going in a circle because I am paying to go to a public state school.
Yes.
And then I work at a public school.
That is so what I always said. In college, I went to a state school and I had like a Pell Grant and a TAP Grant and all these different grants, and I had still had to take out loans. I'm like, I took out loans from the government to go to a government school, and now I have to pay back the government while I work for the government?
Like, what do you want from me? At this point,
it's just all your money to begin with. Like, you just, like, it wasn't the money just going back and forth.
Yes. And then you rate me on how good of a job I did with trading it with you.
Right. Like, it's so weird. I know. So I'm in this educational technology class, and we just had to do a unit on adaptive technology, and the videos were from 2001.
Oh!
So, okay. The adaptive technology was a tape recorder, I didn't even know this existed, a literal spell checker. It, like, kind of looks like a label maker. I'd never seen one of these before. And you would type words in, and it would spell check it for you because, you know, like, iPads, phones weren't a thing.
Interesting.
That was it. And then another one was a word processor. Like, not a computer, but like a machine that just did word processing.
And this is what you're paying for in the year of our Lord 2024.
To get a master's in this. Like,
it's crazy that, like, literally I have learned more about teaching on TikTok and YouTube than I probably will in my master's program.
Oh, yeah.
I'm fully confident of that. And one of those was free and the other one was like $14,000.
Literally. That's what I'm at the end of the day. This whole thing will probably be like $14,000. And I'm only doing it because in New York State, you have to get it within a certain time frame. And so I'm, all right, I'll get this master's. And I literally spent hours looking for, like, the lowest credit, least amount of time, completely online, lowest amount of cost, like, hours dedicated to this. Like, name a master's degree program in New York State. I can tell you about it because I looked it up.
I called every individual one to ask if the Zoom was mandatory. They really won't give you an answer beyond like what they recommend, but it's up to the professor.
Right. And like the minimum score. I'm like, well, I was like, what's the GPA? What's the minimum GPA I need in this program to like graduate? Like in college, I was on top of it. I was always working like A's. This degree, I'm like, all right, what do I need? A B? All right.
Yeah, I didn't even check my grades at the end of the year.
I'm like, what AI detector do you use so I can make sure that I find the one it can't detect?
Like, why am I doing this? So yeah, I'm starting my master, so eventually I'll have that and I'll stay, you know, in the classroom. I don't know if I want to be in the classroom forever. My dream job is to be a talk show host. Like, that's my like secret dream job.
Me too.
So always dreaming of that. And, you know, still obviously like doing social media and stuff, which is weird to do social media and teach, which I'm sure both of you know.
How is that? Like, what's your perspective on that?
I have a lot of feelings about people who, I don't want to say just influence, but who do content creation full time, who are like, this is so hard. This is such a hard job.
I have a lot
job.
Of opinions because they need like, to go work at a coal mine.
Yeah,
and that's
like,
a hard
babe,
job.
Come clock in. Like, let me know when you're paying union dues.
The head custodian at my school informed me of the best way to tell if someone has ever had to work hard in their life, because he told me he knows I've had to work because I break down cardboard boxes when I throw them away.
Oh my gosh.
That's a big one.
And I was like, that's so true. Because if you've never had a hard experience, you would have never thought to do that.
That's such a service industry thing.
Right? Because he was like, a lot of people, they just throw the giant box in the dumpster, not even thinking about the consequences.
Yeah.
And he was like, yours are broken down. And I was like, they are.
He's like, you know, yeah. Yeah. So I definitely like, I have thoughts on that. I'm like, not that content creation doesn't come with its own set of horrors. Like, hello, internet hate. Nothing, literally nothing prepares you for that. You see, like, a big creator being like, people are saying horrible things about me. You're like, okay. And then you become a somewhat big creator and people say horrible things about you. And you're like, oh, no, they really meant it's thousands. Like,
yeah.
When they said thousands of people were saying horrible things, they really meant thousands of people.
I thought y'all were kidding until it happened.
I've really only gotten into the dozens, and it scares me to think that it could be thousands. That's so overwhelming.
This is what's hard about it. It's that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, like, the actual, like, day to day, no,
yeah, not at all. Yeah, I was like, this is, yeah, when I, it was the summer of 2022, this guy had posted this like stupid video about moving to the Bronx, and like he didn't like it, and then he went on to post all this like other inflammatory stuff. I stitched that one video and I was basically just like, maybe become a part of your community or whatever. It was literally not
this.
Yeah, and then it went onto Twitter.
Oh no.
Which I don't have, like, because I'm like scared.
I love Twitter, but it is
it's horrifying.
It's a crazy
Do you remember,
ass
I got
place.
Eaten up after a month on Twitter, and I was like, actually I'm done.
Yeah, so this person, it wasn't even me that posted it, somebody else. I'm like, you person that shared the video, they posted it, and literally thousands of comments, thousands of it blew up. New York Post, daily tabloid in the UK picking it up.
We won the war, leave us alone.
He ended up getting fired from his job because he did a bunch of awful stuff, had nothing to do with my video, but they held my video up as like crazy, woke, queer, gets a man fired from his, hardworking man from his job. The media just ran with it. Like, it was actually the person who shared it to Twitter originally was sharing it as like a, I love this. This is great. And then it, right? Ended up, this woman wrote an opinion article in the Washington Post about me as an example of how, because I did a follow-up video where I was like, okay, the hate on this is extreme. And in that video, I was like, and I fully understand that when you post yourself online, you're opening yourself up to critique. Like, hello. Like, when people are like, I didn't ask for this platform, I'm like, then get off the platform.
Yeah, like, right. Hit delete.
That's so, that's such right weird there. Energy to me. Like, I didn't ask for any of this. It's like, okay, well,
bye.
You don't have to post any of it. Go away. Like, you know, so like,
someone have a gun to your head?
Yeah, like, literally. Like, I'll never say that. And I said in the video, I was like, this has been extreme, and I think there's a fine line here between like bullying and accountability, and I understand that I willingly post myself online. Like, this isn't a pity me for that, it's just like a be aware of this. She took that video, of course, cut it off right where I said I got a lot of hate, and left out the part where I was like, I understand this is part of sometimes what happens, and wrote a whole article about how maybe people like me shouldn't post online because things like this happen, and I should just maybe keep my thoughts to myself.
Oh my God.
It was a nightmare. Anyway, basically, spark notes of all of that is it was a very traumatic July when that happened. And that is something that I think until you're in it as a social media, like, literally nothing
can prepare you
prepare you for that until you actually experience the first time. Like, now that it's happened, I have a little bit of like a tougher skin. I'm like, okay, like I recently posted a video talking about how I think influencers should have to speak about issues. Like, you have a large platform.
Yeah.
Like, why wouldn't you? Like, just why wouldn't you from the jump?
Yeah.
And I got a lot of hate. Like, I haven't gotten in a while. Like, you can't tell people what to say. You are asking too much of people.
But you're
bullying people off the app. Literally, I was like, girl, I'm not bullying anybody off the app. I'm
You didn't even say anyone specific.
I didn't say anybody specifically. I didn't do anything like that. It's like, and the irony of you telling me that I don't get to tell people what to say, as you tell me
that's my favorite one,
that I don't get what to, like, I'm allowed to have an opinion on what I think people should talk about, just like you are. Mm-hmm. But I guess what I'm trying to say is, like, it was not fun that when I posted that video, a lot of the stuff I got, whole DM'd essays, like people stitching my video being like, you're stupid for this, da da da. Does it, like, hurt a little bit? Yeah. Or, like, shake me a little bit? Yeah, I'm a sensitive person. Like, yeah. I'm sensitive.
Retweet.
But, like, it is not nearly as hard as that first time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess that's a really roundabout way of saying being on social media and being a teacher is really weird sometimes.
Yeah. It is spooky.
And things that are hard as a teacher are not hard as an influencer. Things that are hard as an influencer are not hard as a teacher. And going back to, like, seeing students in public, getting recognized by families is literally a nightmare.
Yes.
If any family is watching this, I adore your children.
Leave me alone.
Please just treat me as your child's teacher or a teacher at the school. Like, it's so, like, I made a video basically being like, please teach your kids how to wash their hands. I beg. And I had a parent. She came on one of my lives and, like, kept commenting, you teach my kids, you teach my kids. Which also, like, let's have some internet safety realness here.
Oh, yeah.
Why are you, like, saying that? Mm-hmm. And I was about to block her because I'm like, I don't want you saying the school I work at or anything like that. Like, you teach my kids. And she literally put her kids' names.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, okay, maybe let's not do that. And then, so I literally just ignored. I was like, I'm not even going to address that or whatever. And then that same parent commented on the video where I was like, please teach your kids how to wash their hands. Commented, well, that's why we send them to you, Mr. Dutch, so that you can teach them how to wash their hands.
Oh, hell no.
You're lying.
And I recognize the username because I made sure to, like, make a mental note of, like, okay, this username is the parent of these kids. And I was like, I went and told some of my friends at school. I was like, you won't believe what this person said.
How do you navigate social media with your coworkers?
Oh, that's a good one. So I am, like, a pretty reserved person in, like, real life. Like, once I know you, I never stop talking. I'll say hi to people in the hallway and stuff like that, like, for sure. But, like, I'm not one to just, like, chit-chat, like, necessarily.
Like, the small talk, the...
Yeah, I'll try. I'll really try. I'll be sweating the whole time and, like, racking my brain. But I'll be trying. But it's not, like, natural for me. And I have, like, you know, a best friend at school. And she has a TikTok that she probably has, like, I don't know, 15 or 16,000 followers. And, like, we're sort of like, oh, they're the, like, TikTok teachers. It's like, oh, great. But, like, I have found, like, teachers that already knew me, it's great. Like, it didn't make a difference. Teachers that are new to the school or don't know me and know me from social media will sometimes have, like, preconceived notions about me. I'm sure you guys have experienced this. Some teachers can be the cattiest people alive. Like, teacher cliques, teacher gossip, teacher, like, sometimes it's just like high school.
Like, the children rub off on us.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
I think we definitely go down in maturity a little bit.
Completely. Like, it's totally like, and so I have had my teacher best friend is, like, the cool teacher. Like, she's the coolest teacher at the school. She's, like, 24. She's, like, the youngest. She's, like, the youngest teacher, the coolest teacher. She's, like, the Frizz from, like, Magic School Bus. Like, everybody loves her, right? Like, it's, that's who, and all the other teachers, especially we have assistant teachers at our school, which is, like, rare. We're, like, super lucky. Our PTA pays for every classroom to have an assistant teacher.
That's amazing.
Y'all's PTA has deep pockets. I love that them.
We have these assistant teachers and they all, like, really admire her. They, like, want to be her. They want to get hired by the school. They want to, like, be her. And they won't even acknowledge me, but they'll always acknowledge her. It's always like, hey, so-and-so. And, like, we'll be in the hallway together and they'll, like, say hi to her. Nothing to me. And then word got out to some of them that, like, I was on social media. Soon as that happened, hi, Dutch. Hi, Dutch. Hi. And I was like,
Okay. I've had it's kind of a similar experience to you, where like teachers that knew me and didn't know I have social media, once they found out, it really didn't change anything at all. But same thing, like it was at my old school. It didn't happen at my current school. I was really nervous about it, but I think I was just not on anyone's For You page at this school. But anyway, at my old school, they hired 3 new teachers who they came in and like followed me already. And like when they saw me at the first staff meeting, got like super excited. And I felt like we could never have a good, genuine relationship, because like I was also trying to make friends because it was my second year at that school. So, like, third year, and we had been through COVID and stuff. And it's like, oh, these are young people my age. But like I couldn't hang out with them because I tried a couple times and I would like tell a story and they'd be like, I saw your TikTok about that. And I was like, yeah, you know me so well, and it's making me unable to get to know you. And I really hate that for both of us.
Yeah, completely. Yeah. It's also when like you get recognized just in person. Sometimes when like somebody will be like, oh my God, I know you from TikTok or whatever. And it's like, oh my gosh, hi, like so nice to meet you. And then they just stand there and it's like, girl, you have so much more frame of reference for me than I have for you. Like it's very nice to meet you, but I don't have anything to say to you, because otherwise we would have just walked past each other on the street. Like,
I just start profusely saying thank you. I don't know. Yes. Like, I'm God. Thank you so much. I love you. Like, your support. Like, I just fucking, like, I go into like Oscar acceptance mode. Yes.
My partner makes fun of me because he says you like turn this switch on and you're like, oh my God, thank you. That means so much to me. Thank you. Oh my gosh, thank you. And like, it does.
I do mean it. I'm genuine, but it's comical a little bit.
But I'm panicking. Like, I'm literally like, he's like, your voice goes up 5 octaves and you're like, I'm like, yeah, because I'm like, oh, but yeah, exactly. I mean it. I really do. But then I get nervous. I'm like, oh, I'm not like, every time it happens when we walk away, I'm like, was I excited enough? Was I happy enough?
I was like, what was my face doing right before they said that to me?
Yeah.
Like, what did I say 20 minutes ago?
Were did they I here? Seem interested?
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Like I had someone recognize me when I was at a diner a couple weeks ago when I was violently hungover, and they walked up to me and they were like, you're such an inspiration to me. You're the reason I'm in college to be a teacher. And I was my hair was all fucked up and I'm pretty sure I had just been talking shit about my students with my boyfriend. And I was like, you're so welcome. I'm so glad that you're inspired. I was like, it's a great field. You're going to be amazing. I was like, that's your mom. Come here, mom. Like,
yeah. Oh my God. Yeah, it's so uncomfortable. I don't know what's worst, when I meet other influencers in person or when I meet strangers in person, but it's all uncomfortable for me because I just don't know what I'm doing with my words or my body. I'm so happy to meet people. Like, being at VidCon is so weird.
I know. Ugh. The amount of events that I turn down because I'm just like, oh, the terror that runs through. Because like being in New York, you get invited to like, I don't get invited to like nearly as many as like the New York influencer girlies, but like I occasionally get like a come to this launch or something. 8 times out of 10 they're happening during the school day. Honestly, it's like Thursday at 11 a.m.
You're like, I actually work for a living, unlike all of you fuckers. I have somewhere to be.
Brunch with shampoo, like come test out this new shampoo and eat brunch at 11 a.m. on Thursday, and it's like, sorry babes,
we'll be deep into reading time.
Literally, so. We're deep in creative literacy arts, okay?
You wouldn't know about Brown Bear. Yeah. Is there anything else you want to share with the people? Like anything you wish that people knew about teaching, especially teaching little kids? Like what do people need to know?
3 like main things. They're still very little and they're learning everything. It's okay that your 2-year-old is not reading. It's okay that they can't do algebra.
I love New York.
Like it's okay. They're good. Like let's work on colors. It's washing hands. If I could emphasize that again. Honestly, if you send your kid into my classroom and they wash their hands, they're exceeding all expectations at all times. Like, that's the thing. That is it. Just focus on activities of daily living, like pulling up your pants, knowing how to blow your nose, like washing your hands. Like, reading will come. Like,
it's just so small. They just got here.
They just got here. They're literally learning everything. So I would say they're learning everything, wash hands. And we really do have your kids' best interests at heart. Like, I think most teachers do. Yeah. Like, you are your kid's first teacher. You know your kid the best, 100%. And when they're in our room, we want just as much for them as you do for them. So, like, it might look different than what you want for them because there's 17 other kids in the room. And you might want them to be reading War and Peace. I want them to wash their hands. You work on War and Peace at home. I'll work on washing your hands at school.
Because that's why we send them to you, Mr. Dutch.
Exactly. So yeah, those are just, I just wish people would remember they're little They're so little. Like, and have fun when they're little. Do little things when they're little, because they're not going to want to do little things when they're 8 and 9 and 10. Like, don't you want to run around and pretend to be a fairy and like paint stuff? And I don't know, like watch Little Bear, watch fun kid shows. Like
they don't need to be watching like the World War II, like recolorized footage. They're too small.
Yeah. Put Coco Melon away. Put Little Bear on.
Yeah.
Put on the 90s and early 2000s kid shows.
That's all we need.
God, amen to that.
Thank you so much for coming.
This was amazing.
Oh, this was so fun. Thank you guys.
Thank you guys for listening.
We hope you all have a great day at work. Wash your hands.
Yeah, wash your hands. Damn hands.